From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Hey there, children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing, and forever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my brother, my producer, Cal Panic himself.
Oh, hey, Bob, yes, here with full cape on.
Full cape.
It's hard to imagine me without one.
Yes. By the way, folks, we're a day late, but it's somebody's birthday. 2 days late.
Two days late.
I didn't realize when I was with you it was the day before your birthday.
Day before.
But happy belated birthday, Count Panic.
Thank you, Bob, yes. For that. Yes.
I texted you on the day, folks. I'm not a monster. I didn't forget.
You're doing fine. You know, it's tough to keep track of everything here, too. But, Bob.
Yes.
I think I'm 1,034. It's been centuries, Bob.
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time.
Well, you're a millennia, day over at least you're
28.
Old. Not a day over 28, Colin. No. Exactly. How was your birthday? What'd you do?
It was good, Bob. You know, saw some family, which is always a good thing.
Yes.
Ate some cake.
What kind of cake?
Right from the Stragaventil. Almira's cake.
Almira's. Well, was it vanilla, Elmira's chocolate, cake. And a strawberry. What's your cake flavor of choice?
I like a chocolate cake. But this cake is it's chocolate on the inside, but it's buttercream frosting, which
buttercream frosting is my absolute favorite.
It's so good. Frosting, some people prefer whipped cream, which is fine.
Yeah,
I want the sugar.
Buttercream is 10 times better. I like buttercream. Buttercream, cream cheese, then whipped cream.
It seems like there's two. I mean, this is like a war.
It's like the chunky peanut butter argument all over again. Soda versus pop and buggy versus shopping cart.
Buttercream versus whipped cream.
But yes.
That was a fun, always fun to consume some cake.
And you and I got to spend some time together on Saturday. Count Panic and I were invited out to the Three Floyds Brewery for the Dark Lord Day, which is like America's biggest beer release. Now, unfortunately, with my health issues, I couldn't drink. I am not allowed to drink right now, at least until we get the next round of tests done to kind of find out what exactly is wrong with me. So no alcohol consumption for me for a hot minute. But you got to enjoy some beer.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to Tony Monroe from Three Floyds, inviting Bob and myself out there.
Yes.
Had a great time.
It was a good time.
Great time.
My body's just going through the motions.
Yeah.
I couldn't be out there super long. No. I tried.
You tried.
I legitimately tried. Yeah. And I was, you could ask Count, man, I was panting.
Well, this was probably our hottest day of the year so far.
That was really hot.
Like 90, almost 90 degrees, we'd say.
Maybe
high 80s.
And everything that's been going on with my body, I couldn't take it. I was out there, though. We got some pictures. We got to interact with some fans.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody that showed up and
they got to say hello to us.
Came up to us. Yeah.
It was a cool time.
But the Dark Lord Day, of course, it all centers around their brew of Dark Lord, which is only released once a year. And people come from all over the woodwork.
All over the world.
Literally all over the world.
It is literally America's biggest beer release.
They sacrificed their firstborn for this beer is basically what they did.
It's, from my understanding, and keep in mind, prior to my health issues that I'm currently going through, I was a big beer drinker. So let me explain what Dark Lord is to everybody who might not know. Dark Lord is what they call an imperial stout. An imperial stout. And to my understanding, an imperial stout is a beer that is fermented for an extremely long time in a very specific type of barrel. And that gives it its very potent taste. It is not for everybody. I always prefer a little bite to my beer. So I like imperial stouts quite a bit. Old Rasputin's a darn good beer. That one you could just go buy at Meijer. You don't need to.
There's no day for that.
No day for that one. But Dark Lord is a special like day. You and I unfortunately didn't get a chance to get any because the pre-sales sold out. Mm-hmm. But you got to enjoy something, right? What did you end up drinking?
Yeah, I had a couple of other brews, the Turbo brew, and then
did you get the Gumball Head? That one's one of my favorites.
I did the Gumball Head because I figure I usually get that anywhere.
Else, yeah, of course.
But you know, it's one of the most popular. That's
exactly. Well, Gumball Head, I find that up in like Wisconsin and Minnesota.
Yeah.
And Michigan, I even saw it there when I was up in Detroit for last year for YumaCon.
That's the region company. They really made a name for themselves.
They really did, man. Forever. I find like when I travel for cons, I see Three Floyds a lot of places. So hats off to them. And it was a good time. I'm really grateful that we had that. And folks, I guess that makes me and Count Panic like actual influencers now. Okay. So if you're looking for a spooky twist to a business opening or perhaps anything, reach out to us, Bob at bobafterdark.com, or reach out to us on social media. Count Panic and I are cheap dates.
Yeah, we are. But you know, that's the thing. It was a pleasure to be out there. Pleasure to be seen. Had to take the cape off at some point.
There minus his cape. That's how miserable hot it was.
But I was wearing that swanky t-shirt that you're wearing right now.
I am the Count Panic t-shirt. It's I'm not in production right now, but it's going to be available on the Bob After Dark merch shop soon.
A few people have it out there.
Yeah. But I enjoyed my time at Dark Lord Day, as brief, unfortunately, as it was, because I just... I don't know what's going on with me. I had another doctor's appointment yesterday, and that's just all, you know, just kind of currently sitting and waiting.
They'll figure it out, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, I'm here, right? And that's the important thing.
It was basically Bob After Dark
Lord Day. That was what I called it. It was fun. But it was interesting because we, you know, it's fun when we go to an event, right? Because I do cons. And so I don't do a whole lot of events that are just me and you centric.
Yeah.
So like, you know, if I'm at a con, I'm promoted to be there to speak, which is a little different when I have fans. But this is like something completely different where fans approached me and you and they're like, hey, how's it going? Super fan Mike Volek actually gave you and I a tour. I've never been. I haven't been before.
Either.
That's it's a lot of people, man. But we had a really good time.
He showed us the lay of the land.
He did, because I thought we were just going to be in that little parking spot.
No,
but no, they had that like hole going around. They had the Wheel of Death and the whole thing. It was a lot of fun.
Metal bands.
Yes. Did you get a chance to check out any of the bands?
I heard of some metal.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. Yeah. But we have a caller.
I was in the mosh pit.
No, I'm too old for that. We got a caller.
We have a caller.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, you guys might be cheap dates, but that beer you guys got over there is pretty darn expensive.
Dark Lord, what was it? It was $400 for the four-pack. And I'm not over-exaggerating.
I think it was like $300.
Bob, it's $300 or $400 for the four-pack.
Whatever happened to Hams and Schlitz and Pabst and Old Style and...
Okay, so I'm going to stop you right there, John, because anybody that knows me, that goes out in a cocktail with me, knows that I drink PBR and Old Style typically exclusively when I go out for a drink. So they're still there.
Yeah, the beer you guys are talking about, man, it sounds like fireworks.
It is a very expensive beer, but it's the process that goes into it. You know, Pabst Blue Ribbon, you get that, it's fermented, ready to go in like 2 weeks. Dark Lord takes years. I think they work on a batch, and then they release a batch. So it's like, I think it takes like 5 years to make or something. I don't have the exact, but it's a long, lengthy process of aging and checking. And as somebody who makes mead, I kind of understand that concept. So I get why it's expensive, but you know, it's not for... A little different than a six-pack of PBR, which, by the way, PBR is my favorite beer in the world. Not talking bad about PBR, but... you know, it's a little different than like a six pack of tall boys for $10. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's crazy. I know this is not a beer show, but can you really tell, you know, with all these beers, can you tell the difference between one beer and the other?
I certainly can.
You can.
Yeah, it's certain ones, certain IPAs will have like a certain more hoppy taste. Stouts, you know, I could tell you the difference between like an oatmeal stout, chocolate stout, coffee stout, blah blah blah, because there's a taste to it. When it comes to like what I call corporate beer, I could tell you the difference between like PBR, what my dad drank, MGD, and Old Style. But when it comes to the fancier beers, sometimes I could tell a difference, sometimes I can't. But for the most part, I could tell you the different bodies of beer by the taste. It's the people that. Oh, go on, John.
I bet you if Sardis or Pee Wees back in the day said, hey, you know, we got this kind of beer and that kind of beer, they'd tell you you're nuts, you know.
Oh, my dad always called it foo-foo stuff.
Yeah, there you go. And I agree with them, you know. So, yeah, you got to have a, you know, you have, I don't know, you got to really like that stuff, I guess. But, hey, I'll let you go on with your show, and I'll be listening as always, Bob.
Thanks, John. We appreciate you.
All right, take care.
Absolutely. There guys, you do you want to be like John? You can call in. Put Count Panic to work back there, 219-845-1100.
Yeah.
And real quick, before we start the show, quick announcement. So we're live on radio tonight.
We are.
But that's not going to be a thing forever on Tuesday nights anymore.
Oh, should you want me to run it down?
Let's go over the basics, because okay. We're still trying to be figured out.
Okay. The basics are here. You know, with summer coming up, there's some baseball, corn dog action. Lake County Corn Dogs can be played on the radio side of things. And plus, you know, the WGLB are edging towards a sportier type of a sports center type of thing. So, again, even if there's no corn dog baseball, I don't know for sure if there's going to be sports at its place. It's a day-by-day thing here.
Yes.
And that being said, on Tuesday nights, you can still catch us on the Jed TV no matter what. Now, that's not saying, listen, I don't know for sure. Maybe randomly you'll hear us on a Tuesday.
Yes, and I think the plan is going forward, we'll check week by week.
Yeah.
And that way there I can, because what we're going to be doing starting next week, I'm looking into re-getting the Bob After Dark newsletter put together.
Yeah.
So I'll get you guys signed up for the email newsletter. And then what I will do is once a week, I'll put that out with the schedule of everything going on for me for the week.
Yeah, because we don't even know.
Exactly. So what my plan is, I'm going to put the newsletter out on Mondays. So that way there it'll say, hey, Tuesday you can watch us on Jed TV or listen to the radio, or it's just Jed TV.
Yeah, regardless if it's on the rail or not, it's going to be live on Jed TV.
And this doesn't affect podcast people by any means. The podcast fans, you're still going to get your episodes on Wednesdays. That's my time frame I'm putting out now. So every Wednesday early in the day before noon, you're always going to have a new episode of the podcast out. So that doesn't change for you guys.
Yeah. I just know Tuesday sometimes. I know there's a Tuesday in June. I may be missing.
Yeah, exactly.
You're on the road.
I'm on the road a lot.
Missing. So if it's not on the radio, it's still on Jed TV on Tuesday.
Absolutely.
Unless we're both occupied.
I don't know. No, So, but the other one is, but the show's good. But for radio fans, so people that are listening right now from the radio, you're not, and that maybe can't watch Jed TV for whatever reason.
It's free, by the way.
It's free. You don't need to pay for Jed TV. You don't even need to make an account. You could just watch
Jed TV. Hit the Bob After Dark link, and it's there.
Jed is in with a J. If you can't get that for whatever reason, and you are just a radio person, don't panic. All pun intended. You will be able to catch the replay of Bob After Dark Sunday nights at 8 o'clock. Correct?
Yeah, 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock Sunday nights. The replay will be on. And I think so. For years, many, many years here on Bob After, not many, many. I make it sound like I've been here for like 20 years or something. From early on in my career here at Bob After Dark, the show that comes after me, like the actual non-like syndicated repeat show, was Coast to Coast. And I still have that for my Tuesday nights late at night. Coast to Coast still plays here at WJOB. My Tuesday nights, my Sunday nights, I should say.
Yeah.
I am going to be leading into the Polka show.
The Polka Hour, yeah.
The Polka Hour.
Yeah. You're the leading for Polka. Ghost and Polka.
Ghost and Polka.
But,
so.
Yeah, the 8 o'clock Sunday, the re-rack of the show, basically.
Yes.
But, you know, Tuesdays, possibly on the radio. Depends if there's sports
going
on.
Yeah, and I will know.
But live on Jed TV
on
Tuesdays.
What we're going to do, we'll know week to week.
And the podcast, you can find where?
And podcasts, wherever you guys listen to podcasts.
Well, that's
literally wherever, even YouTube now, you can go and listen to the new episodes.
So
as
no matter what happens,
you will always, Bob After Dark's not going anywhere. By any means. In fact, I'm busier now with Bob After Dark, more now, especially with my Twitch schedule, than I've ever been. So, you know, it's good news. It's just things here at the studio are a little different. And that's not going to be permanent either. There's a lot of things in the works here at the studio. It's just right now we kind of got to go with the flow. So we have a studio to have.
Yeah. Listen, what's the old thing? Change is the only constant thing.
Exactly. And I'm not, this isn't the end of the world, because you're still going to get content.
Yeah.
It's just what day you're going to consume radio content is literally the only thing that's changing.
Yeah.
But however, count. So let's talk about what Bob After Dark is. Bob After Dark's your weekly show, where we weekly paranormal show where we talk about legends, lore, supernatural things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, and of course, Count Panic's favorite tattoo he has because he has a new one.
Oh, geez, they're all like my children, aren't they?
Yeah, you have some good ones.
Yeah, but let's talk about the newest one here.
You do have a new one.
No, I am a Polish vampire.
You are a Polish vampire.
And this is the benefit for the Jed TV folks, I guess.
Yes, you get
there
to see Count Panic's new tattoo. Yes, yeah, it is appropriate, guys. It's an inappropriate
people
spot.
People think I'm bending around.
You're about to show your buttocks or something. No, you can see on his calf right there, Count Panic has the Polish eagle.
You can see it right there,
which
right?
I think is going to be my next tattoo, because I've been thinking about what I'm going to do for
right
Dad.
There. That's a Polish eagle.
That is a Polish eagle. So I think for Dad, I'm going to be doing the same thing on the back of my calf, because I've been looking for a Dad memorial tattoo. And
you think a Polish eagle too?
I think that's the plan.
Yeah, you know what? That he would be proud.
Dad
of
would be very. If we were just talking before the show, Kyle and I were sitting in the studio and we were going back and forth about things that remind me of Dad. You got Dad loved his MGD and his Canadian club. Dad loved the White Sox. Dad worked at a steel mill for 45 years, and Dad was very, very much a proud Polish person.
There you
extremely
have it.
Proud of his Polish heritage. I grew up hearing the Polish language at my house. I grew up learning all about, you know, the Polish like folk heroes and the generals that did the great things. Kosciuszko, heard all those stories. So, you know, I think it's time for a new tattoo for me anyway. And I'm definitely leaning towards an eagle like you have for Dad.
Get that and a can of MGD.
I think that's what I was thinking is have the Polish eagle gripping a can of MGD in its talon.
I don't know. You need like a Polish beer, but I guess an eagle could drink MGD.
It's a Dad thing. Yeah. You get the idea.
Oh, but I do want to give a shout out to the folks at the tattoo lady. Callie, the tattoo lady is actually Callie. Callie's the tattoo lady.
Okay.
And she's the one that did the tattoo. She did a great job.
Oh, so the line works beautiful.
Yeah, but yeah. Polish eagle, Bob, I think that would look good on you.
I think that's the plan. And then I got my calves wide open, so it's me and you are going to have matching tattoos.
There you have it.
All right, so we split the show up into two parts. First part of the show is the weird, spooky news of the week.
Oh, and then a text in here as well.
We have a text line.
Well, John again.
Hi, John.
Saying, and your dad liked to play baseball at Kosciuszko Park.
Yes. Oh, the White Sox. We forgot about that one. Dad loved the White Sox, and he loved playing baseball.
At Kosciuszko Park.
Yes, baseball, basketball, and football, but he loved his baseball.
Yeah.
So we split the show up into two parts. The first part of the show is the weird spooky news of the week. That's where you, the fans, and me, the Bob, go scouring the internet for the weird and unusual in the world of news. So anything from ghost sightings, cryptid encounters, lights in the sky being photographed for major news, and weird advances that borderline on science fiction. That's what we talk about on here on that part of the show. I don't warn Count Panic of anything of the news unless it's a video. And we get the raw hashtag Panic's take at the end of every news story, giving the deets of the show, or giving the deets of every news story. And then we do dive right into the lore of the week, ripped right from the pages of Dr. Ben Vanerson's diary. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But I teased it tonight. For the first time in Bob After Dark history, we are going to be talking about chicken nuggets in a legitimate sense.
Chicken nuggets.
Chicken nuggies, as they call it these days.
Any certain type of chicken
nuggets? Well, to get to it.
Okay.
We'll get to it. So let's start with our first news story. Right. This is written by Jessica Phillips at Channel 59 News in West Virginia. West Virginia ranks number one for paranormal investigations, which does not surprise me at all. So let's dive right in here. This is from Ghent, West Virginia. The WVNS is their broadcast name out there. One of the many topics that could be associated with the Mountain State is ghosts, cryptids, and a variety of the paranormal. According to a study held by Jeff Bett, paranormal investigations are common in West Virginia, and many keywords relating to the paranormal, such as ghost orb, were studied to discover that states were the most interested in paranormal investigations. West Virginia took the top spot with 403 searches per 100,000 people each month, which is 67% higher than the national average of 241 searches per 100,000 residents. According to the keywords that were analyzed for the study, common paranormal search terms that West Virginia searched for were included spirit box, ghost hunting, and cold spots. While West Virginia came out for a high interest in ghost hunting, the state with the second most highest in tracking paranormal went to Alaska, which was that's a big surprise to me. Alaska searches were 35% higher than the U.S. average, with 326 monthly searches per 100,000 people. Third place goes to Colorado. So-so. 305 searches per 100,000 residents, 27% higher than the U.S. average. Oregon took fourth, 295 per 100,000. Fifth, Nevada, 288 monthly searches per 100,000 residents. While West Virginia took the spot for most interested in ghost hunting, Mississippi took the top spot for the exact opposite. Mississippi is the state with the least interest in ghost hunting, with a total of 161 month searches per 100,000, which is 47% below the national average. The 178 searches for per 100,000 people. Louisiana came in third with 194. That blows my mind, with the 194 search out of 100,000 coming in 36 below the national average. This is from the Jeff Betts spokesperson. The question of whether or not paranormal exists or is a fiction is a long debated topic, and one where the answer will greatly depend on who you're asking. Judging by these findings, if you were speaking to someone in West Virginia, it is significantly more likely they'll be arguing for the former. The difference from state to state is how many residents are actively hunting for proof of paranormal activity could reflect where views the thought of the afterlife as comforting, whereas is he is unrealistic, or perhaps would just rather leave the undead be. According to an analyzed search terms, some of the most popular searched paranormal related keywords in America were Ouija board, spirit box. The search terms were 133,914 and 161,705 respectively, show that communicating likely plays a large part in who are interested in paranormal investigations. Some investigation-related search terms that were involved in the study included poltergeist hunting, best thermal camera for ghost hunting, how to hunt ghosts, where to buy a spirit box, and demon hunting equipment. Count, before I pass it off to you, would you like to know the rest of the states that were interested in everything?
I would know.
Do you also want to know the states that were not interested?
I would love to.
Okay, so I was saying that they said in the thing, West Virginia, Alaska, Colorado, Oregon, Nevada were the top five. Bottom five, Utah, Missouri, Washington, Maine, Kansas, and Arizona, topping out at the 10 states that were most interested in the paranormal. Hmm. Are you ready for the ones that were least interested in the paranormal?
Sure.
Mississippi, New Jersey, Louisiana, South Carolina, Idaho, Delaware, South Dakota, Florida, Montana, and Maryland.
Really? Interesting.
What blows my mind? Oh, sorry, guys.
Louisiana?
Louisiana. You would think that would be like, and maybe it's not the Louisiana residents that are looking that up. Maybe it's the tourists that are going there and looking that stuff up.
Maybe. But I mean, if you, I don't they embrace the whole come on down and look for ghosts down
most
here?
Most do.
Yeah.
Most do. And I mean, that's just in New Orleans. I don't know how the rest of the state is. You know, New Orleans is kind of like paranormal hotspot number one, right behind like, or right above like, I was just there. Georgia, Savannah.
All right, yeah. No, that is interesting, Bob. And this even has the demons factor in it as well, not just the paranormal.
Yes.
So that's some interesting facts. But yeah, I am very taken back by the whole Louisiana. I thought their whole tourism idea was, hey, come on down here.
Yeah, well, I mean, they have other things going on there.
Stay for the gumbo.
What the other one that was surprising for the top of that list is Mississippi. That's more... Actually, maybe that doesn't surprise me as much. I think I've driven through Mississippi once in my life. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't tell you too much about what's going on there. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
The Mississippi's got a lot of dogman sightings though. There's a whole city that's dedicated that Dr. Vanderson be able to tell you more about that.
Yeah.
The other one, but Louisiana is the one that blows my mind. New Jersey. Got the Jersey Devil story out there, which is arguably top five cryptid in America. That one's surprising, but they don't talk about cryptid comments in here. It's all ghost related, so maybe. South Carolina, so-so. Idaho, that doesn't surprise me. Delaware, not so much. South Dakota, yeah. Florida's actually really surprising. I was expecting more from that. Montana and Maryland, hit or miss. But I thought that article was pretty interesting. Yeah. Count, what's your take on it?
No, I do find it interesting. And again, it's good to kind of get the breakdown of facts here of what each state considers, well, if it's worthwhile. And not just paranormal. Like I said, they want to do demon kits as well. So
yep,
there's a lot to factor in here.
West Virginia does not surprise me at all. Like, there is such a trend going on right now with, like, Appalachia lore, which is directly in, like, West Virginia, you know. Fallout 76 is a super popular game that's got cryptids all over the place.
Yeah.
And West Virginia is kind of like the beacon of high strangeness, obviously. Mothman, you know, Grafton Monster, et cetera, Flatwoods Monster all take place in one state. West Virginia doesn't surprise me. If you were to ask me, and I'm going to ask you the same thing, yeah, top three states I would have guessed off the cuff, I would have said West Virginia, Louisiana, Georgia, because of Savannah.
Yeah.
What about you?
Louisiana, for sure. That's, like, the most haunted. I always thought that was the most haunted.
Yeah, I mean, when you think of, like, paranormal in America, my first thought, maybe West Virginia. But New Orleans is a close second, if not number one. Maybe the two go back and back, you know?
Maybe Florida, because it's close in proximity.
Yeah, well, and Florida's got a lot of high strangeness going on there. St. Augustine's there, America's oldest city.
Yeah.
And that's a hotbed for paranormal activity. I've been there twice in my life.
How about Washington? I mean,
Bat Squatch.
Yeah, I mean,
was that on the bottom list?
No,
Washington was number seven on the biggest list.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yep. Yeah. All right, ready to move on to the next.
Nothing about Indiana.
Nothing. Indiana did not rank either way.
So we're just the different.
No, neither was Wisconsin. That kind of surprises me too, maybe. Yeah. All right, let's dive into the next story, which is written by Mia Williams from Uniland. Devil letter written by possessed nun in 1676 is finally translated. A devilish letter written by a 17th century nun has finally been translated. Sister Maria Confessella della Concezione, C-R-O-C-I-F-I-S-S-A della C-O-N-C-E-Z-I-O-N-E, a 31-year-old nun living at the convent of Palma di Monte Cairo in Sicily, was said to be possessed when she wrote the letter. On August 11, 1676, she wrote on the floor of her cell with her face covered in ink, clutching a letter which was strangely mixed of symbols and letters. Historical accounts may have suggested that Sister Maria claimed that the letter was from the devil, who was attempting to turn her away from God towards evil. The message was 14 lines long, and archaeologists have tried to decipher the meaning for centuries, and finally have started to make improvements. Talking to Live Science, Ludrum director Daniela Abate said, "When working on historical decryption, you cannot ignore the psychological profile of the writer. We needed to know how much was possible about this nun." Historians said that Sister Maria was 15 when she decided to devote her life to God and move to a Benedictine convent. Abate continued, "The letter appeared as if it was written in shorthand. We speculated that Sister Maria created a new vocabulary using ancient alphabets that she may have known. To be sure what exactly this letter was written in, researchers had used research and software which scanned shorthand symbols for different languages. They found that the nun's letter contained words from ancient alphabets such as Greek, Latin, Runic, and Arabic." Abate said, "We analyzed how the symbols and graphisms or thoughts depicted as symbols repeated in a letter in order to locate vowels, and we ended up refined the decryption algorithm. We thought we could just come out with a few words making sense, but the nun had a good command of languages. The message was more complete than expected. In addition, calling the Holy Trinity dead weights, the letter also said, 'God thinks he can free mortals. The system works for no one. Perhaps now Styx is certain.' In ancient Greek and Roman mythology, the river Styx is separating the netherworld from the world of the living." Abate said the letter shows a strong indications that Sister Maria was suffering from mental health conditions. He said, "The image of the devil is often present in those disorders. We learn from the historical records that every night she would scream and fought against the devil." Hashtag panics take.
That's interesting. And again, to have this all coming out right now, translated for us. But back then, what year was it? When was it?
It was the 16th century.
Yeah.
1676.
Can you imagine? I mean, even now, that's terrifying. But a lot of this happening back in the day. No explanation whatsoever.
No, and so keep in mind, guys, I'm not discrediting this as, you know, a psychological disorder, right? Because possession is something I believe in. I believe I've experienced it myself. Sorry, guys. It's hard to sit here.
Back there.
Yeah. So I just... We didn't know mental health in the 1600s, y'all. That was not a thing. Mental health was at, like, at its infancy, you know? So I don't think they would have known the difference between mental health or possession or not. You know what I mean? It's interesting that it used these different letters. And they say that, well, she, you know, she was an expert in some of this stuff. But, man... Have you ever sat down and tried writing a letter in different languages?
No, I can't.
Because I have.
Oh, yeah. I
have, you know. I can write German and I can write some Polish, but if I jump back and forth between the two, I'd be lost. But this, they're saying, what, how many different, hold on, I'm trying to find it here. Greek, Latin, runic, and Arabic. Greek and Latin makes sense, specifically the Latin, right? We talked about that before. When our dads were going to church back in the day, Latin was how church was presented most of the time. At least that's why my dad knew how to speak Latin, because he had to because of the church. What's more interesting to me is that she knew the runic language. That would have been like a heathenistic like belief system to them.
Yeah.
So how, you know, how are you going to sit there and say that she knew like the runic language? That's not something you should be knowing.
No.
And then on the flip side, the Arabic, you know, crusades were probably getting, you know, going on, this and that, or maybe not at that exact time, but those things were looked down upon. So how is this, and my question is, how is this nun going to know these languages good enough to be able to write a full letter in being able to swap between different languages? Now you could say that there was a mental illness going on there, but it made cohesion sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What do you believe on? Do you think there's a condition going on?
I think there is. I think there's something otherworldly here happening, but because that's impossible for me to comprehend.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, our last news story, and it's the one everybody's here for.
They're here.
Hold on. In all of my time of doing Bob After Dark, I would have never expected to be using this as a news source, Southern Living.
Okay,
it's a magazine. You're familiar with Southern Living?
I read it from time to time.
Tyson's spooky chicken nuggets are now in grocery store frozen food aisles.
What does that mean?
Okay, we're gonna read it together. Dinner time will be a real scream now that by the way, Tyson did not sponsor this podcast, but Tyson, I'm a vegetarian. All right, I can't.
But you'll eat a chicken nugget.
But that guy. My producer will be my meat stuntman. Yeah, he'll eat them.
I'll eat the meat.
So look, we're open for business here, guys. But anyway, Tyson's Spooky Chicken Nuggets have hit big grocery stores, apparently. This is the first time Spooky Nuggets have been available in the sale in the freezer aisle, though we've gotten a peek at them before. The Halloween-inspired Chicken Nuggets made their debut last season, available exclusively via giveaway on the brand's Instagram page. They want me to pay for this. I'm not going to do that. When would I ever read Country Living outside of this? I live in Chicago. The Halloween-inspired chicken nuggets made their brand's Instapad ads in a state of release from the Tyson brand. Due to an overwhelmingly positive response, they are available in stores for the first time starting in December. The little ghost pumpkins and bats are sure to entice even the most reluctant eaters at the table. Their adorable shapes might even persuade a few grown-ups to indulge in a dinner of lightly breaded all-white meat chicken patties this September and October, and now they're in stores, so they're here early
already?
That's apparently what this is telling me, is maybe they hit stores early to drive a pipe. You can add spooky nuggets to the menu for your kid-friendly Halloween party. Give the kids something to snack on besides candy bars and sugar cookies, and their parents will thank you. Choosing an appropriate dip is no-brainer. How about some blood red ketchup on the side? Hey. I'm not going to list the stores you can find this at, because
just go out there and see.
They're out there. There's some, I will just say, because I don't know how much I can actually say about this. Major retailers are carrying them, apparently. They retail for about $6.98 and the bag contains 40 chicken nuggets.
That's a good deal, right?
And ask me when the last time I bought Tyson chicken nuggets were.
When's the last time?
When have I ever eaten Tyson's chicken? I think I got the fake chicken nuggets once Vic's made for me. In prospect of switching the ordinary round nuggets after Halloween seems like a letdown, no worries, because Tyson's Dino Fun Nuggets are in the freezer aisle all year round.
You might have Christmas nuggets after this. Well, this could be a whole series, Christmas nuggets, Easter nuggets. But, you know, this is exciting news.
I want you to know I passed on archaeological finds for this article.
Good article. Well, you know, I remember going years ago, when I was just a little count back in the day, it's actually a place you know very well, Center Lounge.
Ah, yes, it's my family's bar.
In Whiting, Indiana.
Yes,
used to have on the menu Dino Nuggets. They used to have Dino Nuggets. You get it with RC Cola because that's all they served.
Yes, they still do, I think.
But the Dino Nuggets were something amazing. And you might think these spooky Halloween nuggets are just for kids. But, Bob, I would seriously
look, I'm going to tell you right now, and this is a promise. Yeah. If Vix finds these, they're going in the freezer.
Oh, yeah.
And Vix is not a child by any means. And I can guarantee you that there are other people out there that are way over kids' age that are really going to like
you
it.
Think they're gonna...
Can you meet me real quick?
What? Oh,
I'm gonna sneeze.
Bob's going to sneeze. Wait a second, Bob. Hold that sneeze for a second there. There you go. Go ahead and sneeze. You're done? Oh, okay. You
never
lost
even happened. Never even happened. Oh, never
Bob.
Even happened. Yeah, that's
there's no mute button here, there's Bob. No, I got to mute myself
sorry.
Over.
You hit it on the soundboard, man.
No, I got to go all the way over here to mute it. But, Bob, I think this has the power, because people go crazy over Halloween and spooky things all time of the year. I think this has the power to sell out in all the stores. I think you'll be hard-pressed to be able to find these nuggets.
Yes.
People are going to be crazy in the shopping. It's going to be like a bonanza.
These are going to be a popular. I guarantee. And plus, the current meme is chicken nuggies. You know, you eat the nuggies.
With the honey mussy.
Yes, you get the idea.
Yeah.
You speak the language. I don't eat the stuff. But I want you guys to know. I want all of my fans to know. I skipped out on actual news articles for this.
That is an actual news article.
Because I wanted to give you guys that. Connor, are you ready for a quick break, man?
Sure.
All right. To our live fans, stick around. I'll be right back. And to our podcast fans, you're about to be hearing words from a podcast that you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Ghostly.
Pat, what are you doing?
What? I want people to know that we're a podcast that takes a deep dive into some of the scariest ghost stories.
But we don't do the creepy voices or weird sound effects. We debate the ghost stories. And aren't you supposed to be the skeptic?
I am, but they'll find that out once they listen.
Look, all you have to do is tell them to listen to Ghostly, and that our listeners get to decide which stories are real.
And which stories are just old folklore.
Exactly.
Download Ghostly wherever you find great podcasts.
Oh, jeez.
Oh. And we're back.
Yes.
Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Oh, hey there, Bob.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
What'd you do during break?
During break, Bob, I consumed all the Dino, well, not the Dino Nuggets, the spooky
nuggets
that are out there. They're delicious.
Yes, I created, you know what I did during break?
Made your own nugget?
I did, a vegan nugget at that.
Oh.
Something I could eat.
Spooky shape.
But it's not in spooky shapes.
That's your downfall.
They're in tree shapes.
Yeah.
It's for Arbor Day.
That's good to have, Arbor. You know, the nugget is a powerful food, I feel like. It's just it really goes for any time of the day.
Yes.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
So, are you ready to dive into the lore of the week?
Sure.
You didn't sound too enthused.
I'm ready.
Okay, that sounds much better. All right, so people ask me a lot, hey, Bob, how do you come up with your ideas for Bob After Dark? And there's a lot of good answers to that. Sometimes there's things on my brain that I know about, and I'm like, all right, I want to cover it. There's times where there's topics that I really would like to talk about, but I've been putting them off for the past few years for some reason. You know, there's not a, I don't have a strict episode on Dogman or the Jersey Devil or Spring-Heeled Jack. I've never covered those things. I mean, eventually I will. But for the ones that I just kind of like, let's figure out what we're doing if we don't have a theme month or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So I can legitimately say how I came up with this episode, okay? You ready?
I'm ready to hear it.
This is some deep-rooted research.
Yeah.
I went to Google.
You went to Google.
I typed in random country generator.
Random country generator.
And I went on the random country generator and I clicked generate random country.
Okay.
And would you like to know what the random country that came up was?
What came up?
The Philippines.
The Philippines.
And would you like to ask me how much I know about spiritualism in the Philippines?
How much do you know about it?
I know nothing. So what I did was then I go on Google and I'm like, okay, well, I don't know any kind of folklore or, you know, monster, big bad type deal in the Philippines. Let's find out what that is. And boy, howdy, did I find it. It's actually kind of almost like a distant relative of yours. It is the Aswang.
The Aswang.
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 Aswang. So let's talk a little bit about this one, folks. Now, I've had to give you guys all the stuff up to this point. I've been all family friendly. This one might be a little scarier for the kiddos. Viewer discretion advised. It's not terrible, but this one's definitely a little scarier than most of my episodes.
Okay.
So just quick disclaimer. All right. So let's talk a little bit of here. I have several different articles, including an entire website called the Aswang Project. But let's start with the cryptid wiki reading on this, and we'll go from there. How's that sound?
Sure.
The Aswang is a cryptid in Filipino folklore. The Aswang is an inherently evil werewolf and vampire-like creature and is the subject of a wide variety of myths and stories. Spanish colonists noted that the Aswang was the most feared among the mythical creatures in the Philippines even in the 16th century. The myth of the Aswang is well known throughout the Philippines except in the Ilocos region, which is the only region that does not have an equivalent myth. It is especially popular in Western Visayan, V-I-S-A-Y-A-N, and regions such as Capiz, Lolillo, Bohol, Mastob, Aklan, and Antique. Excuse me, my Filipino speaking language is not super good, guys, so bear with me as I did try. Other region names for the Aswang include the Tiktik, Wak Wak, and the Saksa, which are noises when chasing its prey. So it's like an onomatopoeia almost. Sometimes the creature is called the Balbal or Ghoul, which replaces the cadaver with banana trunks after consumption. Aswang stories are definitions are vary greatly from region to region and person to person, and no particular set of characteristics can be ascribed to the term. However, the term is mostly interchangeably with the Manamanagal, and the creature is usually depicted as female. The Aswang is a generic term applied to all, and I don't want to use this term, but they call them witches. Guys, remember, most witches hang out on the couch and complain about juice in the morning. They're not bad people, but this is just, you know, this is old story stuff, so I gotta say it, but please, witches aren't bad. They're just fine. They want to be left alone. It's 2024. Let them be who they're gonna be. Anyway, vampires, and I... Sorry, Count, I guess you're getting thrown into that one, too. And the Manamanagals, shapeshifters, and werebeasts. Aswang stories and definitions vary greatly from region to region and person to person, and no particular set of characteristics can be ascribed to the term. However, the term is mostly used interchangeably with the Manamanagal, and the creature is also usually depicted as female, as we said. The wide variety of descriptions of the Aswang stories make it difficult to settle upon a fixed definition of the appearances or activities. However, several common themes that differentiate Aswangs from other mythical creatures do emerge. Aswangs are shapeshifters. Stories recount Aswangs living as regular townspeople. They are quiet, shy, and elusive. At night, they transform into creatures such as a cat, pig, bird, or more often a dog. They enjoy eating unborn children, which is what I was referring to on scary stuff here, feeding on unborn small children, favoring liver and hearts. Some have very long tongues to use to kind of dig the organs out after eating, and some are so thin that they could hide themselves behind a singular bamboo post. They are fast and silent, and some make noises like tick-tick-tick, which are the louder, further away the Aswang is to confuse a potential victim. And the boo-boo, an aggressive kind of Aswang that makes a sound like a laying hen at midnight. They may also replace their live victims or stolen cadavers with doppelgangers made from tree trunks and other plant materials. Vesma will return to the victim's home only to become sick and die. An Aswang will also have bloodshot eyes, the result of staying up all night searching for houses where wakes are held to steal bodies. So these things go after usually children and dead people. So, well, you know, your average 30-year-old, I guess, is completely fine.
We might be safe.
You just turned to. You're good, man.
Right, well, I'm thousands of years old, Bob.
All right. So what do you think so far?
Yeah, it's terrifying. You're right. It might be a little too, put the hands over the kids' ears there. But you know what? Terrifying creature, Bob, we're dealing with. Unless you're just a regular person. But, you know, still to think about that's terrifying.
Yes. As Aswangs are renowned for shapeshifters, animals commonly associated with humans are sometimes misconstrued as Aswang due to their distinctive sounds. This misbelief has led to an unfortunate killings as animals such as bats, flying lemurs, and Tasmanian devils. A plausible explanation for the legend of the Aswang is a purported legend in the Capiz region. Filipino men susceptible to rare genetic condition known as XDP experience uncontrolled muscle movements and spasms reminiscent of Aswang depictions. Additionally, Aswang may serve as a convenient scapegoat for individuals committing gruesome murders. Many find it easier to attribute such acts to a mythical monster than to grapple with the complexities of understanding why fellow human could commit such heinous acts. Tabloids exploit the Aswang narrative to boost sales, capitalizing on sensationalism and surrounding these stories. Sorry, guys. I'm pouring sweat here. I'm fine.
Doing good, Bob.
I'm doing good. So just take me a breath here. So what do you think so far, Count? Scary stuff, huh?
Very scary. Terrifying, Bob.
Yes. Yeah. So let's talk about the different classifications. I explained what they can be, but each one has a different appearance when they shapeshift, right? Mm-hmm. So their most common form of the shapeshifting is a humanoid, mostly upright, but sometimes crawls on all fours. The body can be covered by a black, coarse, quill-like hair. Skin color can be black to ashen gray. The body can be oily as well due to an application of unknown kind of grease or coconut oil concoction, usually before stalking your prey. In this configuration, they more normally crawl on the floor or the immediate space outside, or they lay prone on roofs or gables looking for a peephole or a lick hole where they can drop their highly penile tongue that reportedly has the looks and consistency of a very dangerous looking claw and spikes. The tongue can inflict sickness or death on its victims, which are usually sick people, children, and pregnant women. As we said, their other big one is a canine, as Aswang can appear as a large menacing dog with coarse black hair and flaming red eyes. They normally stalk the roadsides but are reported to roam the cities on occasion. Its huge size and wild hair reminds one of a jackal out for a kill. Normal house dogs normally hide, howl, and flee when they see an Aswang in this form. Animal senses are way sharper than ours, remember that. By far the most common Aswang configuration in the Philippines, most Aswang witnesses reported seeing them in this form, especially just as a scalped up pig with the basic characteristics of two forms of Aswang. Their arrival is hurdled by snorting and garnishing of teeth characteristics of domestic speed. Only their sheer size gives them away. There's also avian, meaning like bird-like creatures. Some called the tick-tick. This is, and that's T-I-K, by the way. This is one of the most sinister-looking configurations in the Philippine Aswang. Outwardly, it will look like a large man, vulture, or raven. Apart from its great size, a dead giveaway would be its unusual ability to fly low and slow without the wings visibly flapping, even with the wind still. Sorry, guys. I'm just going through the motions here. Bear with me. This was the exact observation of a compadre of mine who saw what he thinks as an Aswang flying low over a public schoolhouse in the Bulacan several years ago. He was with his classmate at the time. By the way, I'm reading this from the OswangProject.com. These people like studied this stuff in depth. They are like a legitimate, really good resource in case you guys want to read a little bit more about them. One of the least common forms of an Oswang form is a feline. An Oswang in cat form can range in size from that of a Siamese cat or that of an ocelot or a jaguar. Now, a suspected Oswang in this form was reportedly caught many years ago in a town in Antique, according to my father. It was tied up, placed in a sack, and beaten up and spread and hauled to town plaza. When the folk opened the sack to show the townspeople, they saw a dead Creole woman with long, flowing brown hair, apparently a scion of a wealthy family of European extraction from the next town. For many years, in the province of Capiz, has earned the unflattering reputation as Aswang country. Much of the reason for this is the spats between the inhabitants of Capiz and the nearby Laleo province. For those parts, some Filipinos claim that there are real hub of Aswangs in this town, which is a geographical neighbor of Capiz. Donas is reputed to be home of one of the Lieutenant Gimo, whose clan was the oldest and biggest clan of Aswang in the province and perhaps the Philippines. None of these stories can be fully sustained, however. Fabrication or not, the story serves to illustrate the endearing belief that being an Aswang runs in family or bloodline. It is also said that old Aswang cannot die unless their ability is passed on to the next generation, and that's because Aswang power feels like almost like a stone that they puke out just before death.
Yeah.
The successor is supposed to swallow this stone to spare his elder from the agony of hovering between life and death. A successful turnover of the Aswang amulet, which is that stone they spit up, ensures a speedy, peaceful death for the older Aswang. Another thing other than the amulet, which is the stone, they say a black chicken, a baby chicken, a chick, right?
Yeah.
That's the term. They could also spit up like a black baby chicken.
Okay.
And if they consume the black chicken, then they gain the ability of the Aswang. Mm. So it's like Aswang gets extremely old. It starts spitting this up, right? And if this isn't passed on to the next generation, the Aswang doesn't die, but it lives in this forever like tormenting stage between life and death. In most parts of the Visayan Islands, however, they are treated as one of the realities of living in the countryside. Well into the 21st century, people still keep garlic and sharp bronze implements inside their homes to ward off Aswang attacks, which I find interesting because you look at other vampire lore around the world, and this is a very vampiric creature by nature. It's interesting because it's depicted as this shape-shifting creature. From, you know, different parts of the Philippines have different beliefs on what this thing actually looks like, but I'm still going to consider it more vampiric than I am anything else. So we'll just, for argument's sake, Aswang is more the Philippines vampire that has a lot more abilities, but I find it interesting that people even going into the 21st century still keep garlic at their home to prevent from Aswang attacks.
I mean, people, yeah, today, right?
Yeah, still to this day, people in the islands believe that's just how they do. Some sleep with knives under their pillows, while some keep a stingray tail whip in handy just in case. Hmm. So that is some of the stories of the Aswang that we have here in the Philippines. What I've really liked about the Aswang story of these creatures is that you don't normally hear of something being able to shapeshift into multiple entities while keeping the vampiric side like going, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to mention the S word, and that's because unless I'm covering that topic completely, the S walkers, I will call them, are a very native fear in the Pacific Southwest. And the indigenous tribes down there legitimately have these fears, and they're very valid. And me not being included in that tribe, I probably shouldn't be speaking about them in terms of just kind of like blurting it out there. Like, people like to say that there's S-Walker, you know, sightings all over the country. No, that is specifically meant for that indigenous tribe.
Yeah.
And by people kind of saying, well, there's sightings here in Chicago. No, there's not. That's for them. And, you know, it's kind of rude to be saying that stuff because these people, that's their big bad. That's their boogeyman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the Eswalker stories are kind of similar. But what I find interesting is that particular story where we have in the Pacific Southwest, they can shapeshift, but it's not that it changes region to region. It kind of can kind of come and go as it pleases, right?
Yeah.
But as we look at here with the Oswan, it's depending on what region you're in, is that it kind of shapeshifts into something depending on the region. But they kind of all keeps the same concept that this thing kind of spits out its tongue and eats babies.
Which is terrifying.
Which is terrifying, man. Mm-hmm. You know, this thing, like, eats babies.
Yeah.
And it could turn into a bird. It could turn into a pig. It could turn into a cat. It could turn into a dog,
yeah,
which is more werewolf-like or, you know, lycanthrope or dog man. This thing's kind of like every paranormal entity cryptid I've probably covered wrapped in the one
terrifying,
very scary piece of lore here,
yes,
man.
Yeah, yeah. No, for sure. You know, my friend Joe spent some time in the Philippines. I wonder if he, you know, kind of a...
Can you reach out to your friend Joe and see what's cracking there?
I can see if there's anything going on, yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe he has stories.
Yes, 100%. Sorry, guys. I'm like, I'm fine. I'm not going to pass out here, but I am pouring sweat here, folks.
You're making it to the end here, bro.
We're making it to the end, exactly. I apologize, everybody. This has been my existence. And until I could get in back, my next test for the doctor is June something. I forgot the date, but I have it. It's a Wednesday. It's the second Wednesday in June.
All right.
So that'll be my next test to hopefully figure out what's going on with me. Sorry, guys. This has been something I told you the past couple of weeks on the show. If you're watching on Jed TV and you see me standing up, that's just because it's hard to get comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how I've been since my stuff going on here.
Yeah.
And this pouring sweat thing is a bit annoying, so I apologize. I promise you guys I'm okay. I suffered a lot worse this weekend, and I didn't pass out yet.
You made it, Bob.
I made it. So I don't know, counting out of all the things we've talked about, I might legitimately say that these things might be top three most terrifying things I've ever covered on the show.
I would say, Bob, more so than the gourd-eating...
the man-eating gourd. The man-eating gourd.
The pants.
The Fresno Nightcrawler is not terrifying.
Yeah,
that thing just kind of... Yeah. Jimmy walks away.
No, this one is spooky. And you know what? I guess we could take comfort. It's in the Philippines. It can't get us here. So.
Unless it migrated here.
Uh-oh. Let's not talk about that.
Sounds good. Now, Count, before we go,
yeah,
do you have any closing words for the audience tonight?
Once again, folks, Tuesdays, Jed TV. If we're not here, say Bob's on the road. I got something going on. Probably nothing. But look for us at Tuesdays at 9 on Jed TV free. And, of course, the replay will be Sundays
at 8 p.m. Central.
8 p.m. Central.
Yes.
Now, always, but the podcast always anywhere for free as well.
Yes. And the Bob After Dark newsletter is coming out soon because I need to keep people updated on what our schedule is like anyway. That's probably a big thing now that I'm doing something just about every day Bob After Dark related. So that's a thing.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So, folks, thank you so much for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. On behalf of me and Count Panic, we just want to wish you all sweet dreams to Mom. I just want to say goodnight to you and Dad, wherever you are in the universe. I hope you're happy, comfortable doing whatever it is that you want to be doing. And to Tiff, no matter where you are, I just hope you have the sweetest dreams of them all. Goodnight, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.